You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Teach your children well. Their father's health did slowly go by. And feed them on your dream. The one they picked. The one you know by.
Welcome to Teach Your Children Well, Hot Topics in Education, with your hosts Rich Weinfeld and Michelle Davis. This program will give parents and educators the skills and methods to effectively advocate for children today. And now, here's Rich and Michelle.
Hello, everybody. This is Rich Weinfeld, along with my co-host Michelle Davis. And I want to first give you an overall description of our show, and then we'll talk about today's show. Teach Your Children Well, Hot Topics in Education is the first and only show dedicated to exploring issues in education. It can make the difference between what we are and what we could be as a society. We believe that with high expectations and an education system that works, all children can achieve. Parents will learn how to partner with schools to powerfully and effectively advocate for their children. Educators listening to the show will advance your skills and knowledge to effect positive changes in school communities. Children are our best natural resource. Let's teach them well and create an education system that develops a future of leaders, making our world a better place to be. We're very excited about today's show, which is focusing on bullying. We're calling it Teasing, Bullying, and School Violence. What can parents and schools do? Let me read you a little bit about what we hope to talk about in today's show. The ramifications of school-age bullying are being played out each night on the TV news as we watch with horror situations like Columbine. If you have ever been teased or bullied on a playground, you know it has a lasting effect. School discipline problems and the procedures that address them are standard and ineffective. Surface interventions that may not solve the underlying problems leading to bullying and school violence. Victims of bullying and school violence are often left feeling marginalized. Cyberbullying is now prominent. Students with disabilities are often targets. Are the current anti-bullying programs in our schools working to decrease these incidents? How can parents, communities, and educators partner to prevent these problems and effectively advocate for students? Michelle, why don't you go ahead and introduce our guest for today?
Thanks, Rich. We're really grateful and excited today to have three very distinguished guests in our panel. And we're just going to have a lot of information coming at our listeners today because these three guests are not only national and international experts in the topic for today, but they all have different perspectives, which we're really pleased to present to our listeners today. One of our guests is Dr. Marlene Snyder. And Marlene is the director of the development of the OLVAS. Marlene, did I say that correctly?
You sure did.
Very good. Bullying Prevention Program in the United States, Institute on Family and Neighborhood Life at Clemson University in Clemson, South Carolina. And she's co-author of the OLVAS, Bullying Prevention Program's School-Wide Guide and Teacher Guide and the related program CDs and DVDs. And we'll give her a chance to tell you how to get those when we get into our questioning. She serves as a national and international consultant in the areas of bullying prevention and intervention, education and mental health, child welfare, and juvenile justice issues. She travels extensively in her role and presents at national and international conferences. She's a member of many different boards, and I'll let her expand on her qualifications and background and experience as we get further in the show. Also, we're so pleased to have Derek Randall. Derek, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
So grateful for you to be here. Derek has created StoppingSchoolViolence.com. He's a parent coach and speaks nationally on how to remove the yelling from your home and how to protect your child from bullying and school violence. He's a national speaker on parenting and bullying. He uses common sense, simple techniques that can be used immediately. He's been on numerous television and radio shows, and he shares his over decades of experience as a high school and middle school educator, and has been nominated for a Disney American Teacher Award. He's a certified STEP family coach through the STEP Family Foundation in New York City, and he, along with his wife, I guess you've made it a family affair, has authored Attacking Our Educators, Parent Smart from the Heart, Stopping School Violence, Bittersweet Moments, and the Parent Manual. And Derek will give you an opportunity to let listeners get all of those great resources a little bit later when we get into the questioning. And lastly but not leastly, we have Richard Paul from richardpaul.com. And Richard, are you with us as well?
Yes, I am, Michelle.
Perfect. Thank you. Great to have you today. Thanks so much. Richard has spoken with over half of a million business professionals, association leaders, students, and educators throughout the world. And Richard has a very interesting ventriloquism twist to all of this. I've watched some of your online videos and find them very, very informative and entertaining. And he tries to paint a humorous yet practical down-to-earth picture of how we can empower others and ourselves. And he opens the mind to more ideas by combining life's lessons with comedies. Richard, I'll let you go ahead and expand on your interest areas and different views on how we should address this issue. I think our first question should be, why is this such a big problem? What is bullying? Is it different from just, you know, calling names? And why is this all of your passions? And I think that we'll just take this one at a time in the order that I introduce people. So, Marlene, why is this, in your view, such a very problematic issue and one that we must address as a society?
Well, we could spend your whole hour answering that question, I'm sure, Michelle. But briefly, what we know now about bullying is that it has been with us for centuries. As people sit and listen to stories about kids being bullied with the physical and the verbal and the non-physical, the gestures and the cyberbullying, they kind of think back to their school days and they remember bullies from way back. And it used to be that people would advise their children, oh, just hit them harder than they hit you, and just take it, turn the other cheek, sticks and stones can break your bones, but names are never going to harm you. And now we know through scientific research that bullying behaviors targeted at any individual are extremely harmful. They're harmful emotionally, to the self-esteem of the individual who has been targeted. We know that there is mental health and physical health impacts of being bullied. And as we look closer at this, we see that children who are bullied and targeted by their peers are much less likely to perform well in the school situation, may actually even shut down. We know that bullying is very detrimental to the healthy development of those children who bully as well. They go on to do more and more horrible things to people in their environment, and very often will wind up pushing the boundaries of other rules and norms in expected behavior.
That's great. Let me stop you there and see if we can go to Derek. Derek, I see on your website, stoppingschoolviolence.com, that you've got a couple of really intriguing facts. One is that 160,000 kids miss school every single day due to bullying and school violence, and 950,000 students across the United States bring weapons to school every month. Schools now report over 250,000 students per month are being physically attacked during the school day. That speaks to the importance of the issue, but what are your ideas on this?
Okay, first of all, those statistics, and every statistic that I seem to run into, I think are probably on the low end because so many cases of bullying is not reported, or they're just covered up. And a new thing that's going on right now is the bullying of teachers. And I can't even say it's new, but it's another issue that's getting covered up where the numbers are staggering. And as far as all the kids that are bringing weapons to school, they do this for two reasons. One is to show off, and the other is for protection. So we need to look at, you know, why do these kids feel like they need protection, and, you know, what can we do about protecting them? School is supposed to be to educate somebody. I think there's a lot of kids in school that really just don't belong there, and that's something we need to look at.
Really great. And Richard, how about you? What does bullying actually look like, or why is this an important issue in our society? Why do we have to tackle this now?
I think it's something that should have been tackled years and years ago. And my angle to this whole thing is, you know, being born with a birth defect, being born with missing three fingers and a shorter arm, having to deal with the teasing, having to deal with the bullies. It's a personal issue for me, and it's something that I feel that it has to be, you know, I think like Derek just said, it's been covered up. A lot of people don't say anything, and sometimes when I was being bullied as a kid, I didn't say anything, because at that time, bullying was a part of growing up or, you know, ignored and it'll go away. But the fact remains is it doesn't go away, and ignoring it makes things worse. And so the reason I feel that this issue should be brought up and again and again and again is because even though we can put posters up, we can send teachers to meetings to learn about it, we can teach kids about it, but to be honest with you, if we don't constantly reinforce it, if we don't open the doors to tell the kids, hey, we're there for you, we're there to help you, then nothing's going to happen.
Can I add to that?
Absolutely.
Sure. I think something that both Richard and Marlene had said, too, about bullying not going away, if you take a look, once someone graduates high school or drops out of high school, whichever, it doesn't mean that they stop being a bully. You mm-hmm. take a look at statistics for domestic violence, for child abuse, for crime, for just bullying in the workplace. This does not end. So it's better that, you know, we start addressing it at an earlier age because it's filtered all through society.
Why are we hearing, it seems we're hearing so much more about bullying now. Is it actually on the rise? Are we getting better at identifying it? We'll get started on that answer and probably have to break. But Richard, do you want to start with that and we'll go back through everybody?
I think it's always been here. I think it's bullying is, you know, from the domestic all the way to schools to just in the community. I think it's always been here. It's just that it's been so hush-hushed, you know. Oh, it doesn't happen here. But in fact, it does. I mean, I have been in schools that have told me that they have no bully problems. And in fact, they do. I hear the kids talking to me, telling me, you know, that they're having a bully issue or bully problem. So it, for some reason, way back when, we thought it was, well, it'll just go away if we just ignore it. You know,
we're going to cut in, and we'll come back with also Derek and Marlene and let them address that after our break. Be right back.
You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Chelsea School has served as a beacon of hope for students with language-based learning disabilities in the Washington, D.C. metro area for over 32 years. It is a college preparatory school serving students grades 5 through 12. Our program model emphasizes literacy remediation, math, science, and technology. For more information, visit our website at www.chelseaschool.edu or call 301-585-1430, extension 303.
How can we be powerful advocates for the children in our lives? How do we ensure that they're getting the best education possible? The Special Needs Advocacy Training Institute prepares parents and educators to be outstanding advocates for school success. The Training Institute is based on Rich Weinfeld and Michelle Davis's Special Needs Advocacy Resource Book. The book is comprehensive, practical, and easy to read. Visit SpecialNeedsAdvocacyInstitute.com to learn more about this dynamic training opportunity. Parents, are you concerned with your child's progress at school? Educators educators. Do you wish that you could do more for your class? Are you interested in pursuing a career in educational advocacy? At SpecialNeedsAdvocacyInstitute.com, you'll learn how to make a difference in the lives of children. You will also find information about Rich and Michelle's consulting and advocacy services. Our children need powerful advocates to ensure that they're getting an appropriate education. Visit SpecialNeedsAdvocacyInstitute.com to learn what you can do to more effectively advocate for the children in your life.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Teach your children well.
You're listening to Teach Your Children Well, Hot Topics in Education with hosts Rich Weinfeld and Michelle Davis. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or tip regarding today's topic, give us a call toll-free at 866-472-5792. That number again is 866-472-5792. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back. This is Rich Weinfeld along with my co-host Michelle Davis, and we have three internationally known experts regarding bullying today, Marlene Snyder, Derek Randall, and Richard Paul. And as we went to break, Richard was addressing, you know, is the bullying phenomenon new? We know it's not new, but is it growing? Is there a difference? It seems like we're hearing a lot more about it lately. I want to give Derek and Marlene a chance at that question. So, Derek, you want to take first crack at that?
Yeah, I do not think it's new, obviously, and I do believe it's growing. And since Columbine, it's gotten a lot more attention. And because of the excellent work that Richard, Marlene, and many others are doing, it's getting more publicity, which is good because we're letting parents and educators know that there are resources out there. You know, for the educators, what Marlene talks about with the OVEAS program, that's probably the best bullying program. Without saying anything bad about any other one, you know, the research shows that it works. But I think beforehand, we never heard about these. So Columbine kind of set it in motion, and people are just doing great work getting the word out that there's help available.
So maybe Columbine really raised the urgency of us to talk about that issue. Marlene?
I agree. We used to go out to national conferences and sit in those rooms talking about bullying, visiting with only a half dozen people. And immediately after Columbine, of course, those conference rooms were standing room only.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, our society is one that takes horrible things to happen sometimes before we get in gear and realize that there are things that are shown in research that do work. I'd also like to suggest that we're living in a world where kids are growing up more separately with their video games. We really have a violent society. Many of our heroes that kids are watching on television and so forth, they win by being violent, or they win by being the smart aleck that can talk over or humiliate and discard other people. So we really have to talk to our kids. When they're playing their video games, parents really need to know what those video games are all about. If you read many of the FBI reports, they indicate that these children who went to school with these guns and aimed so accurately had never before, in some cases, had access to guns. But they learned how to target through video games.
Well, let me ask the three of you. That really begs a very important question. In the aftermath of Columbine, their violent games, violent books, I think have become more taboo. Where do you stand on that? Is that important that we eliminate access to those? Or, as you were saying, Marlene, is it important that we just have a dialogue with our children about them? I'll let Marlene start on that.
I don't know about your children, but any time I told my child that there was something he was not allowed to do, he would find a way to either share information with his friends at school or go to their homes and participate in those things. So I took a very early stance of visiting with my child about my expectations and our family values and hoping to instill that with them. And in today's society, with all of these things everywhere, I don't think it's realistic for a parent to say you cannot ever see or ever play these things, especially as children get into the teenage years. We just hope that the values and the visiting we can do with them and the conversations we have about the impact of these things will take over in their personality and they'll choose to do the right things.
Derek, would you like to comment on that?
Yeah, I believe she's 100% correct. You cannot control everything as a parent. You know, we tell our kids you will not smoke, but they still figure out a way to smoke. Removing the games are not really the answer. If you sit down and you go through the games with your child and you let them know what's the difference between reality and, you know, what you're doing here is not real life, because some kids blur those, that's real important. It's just like when you watch TV shows with them, you know, I always tell my kids, wow, look at this. If I was drinking this alcoholic beverage, I would have all these beautiful women hanging on me. What's it like in real life?
Right.
You just walk in any bar and you can see that, you know, this is just advertising. So I do think the pop culture has had a tremendous effect. And one of the ways parents can address that is just what Marlene said. You cannot say, don't do this. But you sit down and you watch it with them. And you tell them, do you really believe this? Can this really happen? And you educate them. You let them learn how to make a decision so they can tell the difference between reality and fake.
You know, to our panel, I'm wondering, you know, is there a certain type of personality profile that is either the bully or the victim? And I'm going to ask a three-part question and just kind of open it up to all three of you. That's the first part. So, you know, is there like a set personality characteristics or traits? I mean, can we predict who may become bullies or victims? Secondly, you know, within this, what is the importance of reaching out to the peers that surround the bullies and victims? And what is the impact of groupthink, or to put it a different way, you know, the having a crowd around or getting kids, other kids involved in the bullying? What is the effect on that? No particular order. Derek, you want to start out with that?
Yeah, as far as the profiling, I think that was the first question.
Mm-hmm.
As far as being a victim, all you have to do is have one thing, and that's called a perceived difference. If anyone perceives you to be different, you could be too tall, too short, too thin, too fat, the wrong color, as Richard was saying earlier with a disability, hey, that makes you different. That's all it takes to be a victim. Could be if you speak with an accent, or maybe you dyed your hair. So there is no one thing that we're looking for to see if someone's a victim. It really comes down to perceived differences. And as far as the bully goes, that, you know, used to be like Biff in the movie Back to the Future, the big guy with other ones hanging around with. But now with cyberbullying, anybody is a bully because they can hide behind their computer, and that kind of takes away, you know, trying to profile somebody.
What kind of different forms does cyberbullying take?
Oh, it takes going through email, instant messaging, text messaging, social networking sites.
Mm-hmm.
It could be, with the camera phones, the video phones. Those have just taken it to a whole new level.
I've seen some YouTube videos that are quite disturbing.
Oh, absolutely. It doesn't count unless it gets videoed now.
Right.
I was at a school. I ended up in a middle school to do a program, and that night before, there was a cyberbullying issue. And apparently this student, he was a dancer, but the rest of the school didn't know it. It was one of those things that he did, but nobody else knew, so he wouldn't have to be bullied. Somebody videotaped it, put it up online, and voila, there he was, you know, and everybody was making fun of him that particular day. So it's a situation that, just like Derek said, I mean, anybody can be the bully there, you know, and who knows who did it, you know. It's not the Biff character, like you said. It can be anybody because they can hide behind it all.
Maybe that has to do with the perceived or real increase in the actual bullying. What about, Richard, the importance of education or intervention for the community that surrounds the bullies or victims?
Well, I guess the best story I can tell was I was doing a workshop for principals, and this principal was telling me he had a bully situation in his school. And this kid was just not a good kid at all. The grades, as a person, his personality, he's just a mean kid.
So the first thing he did was, you know, call the parents down. Well, he called the parents down, and the parents, as he put it, our group, were meaner than the kid. And so he's like, okay, now what do I do? And then he realized, he put some thinking into it, and he says, you know, I can't change, unfortunately, change his home life, but I can, within my four walls here, attempt to change him within the school. And what he did was he put together a team. He put together the teachers. He put together the custodians, whoever, the kids, everybody. And they worked together as a team, an anti-bully team, to keep an eye on this kid. As he put it, if this kid even sniffled funny, you know, he'd be right in his case. And so needless to say, because they all worked together as, if you want to call it, community within the school, they were able to stifle this kid from bullying and put an end to it. And the positive thing at the end of this, when this kid graduated, now this is elementary level, when he graduated from high school, he graduated with all A's, and he was voted the nicest kid in the class. So with that story, it just tells you that if the community, if the students, if the staff and teachers work together, then they can, hey, put an end to this. But the main thing is, and everything I've read is, if you don't have, like, that you can say, kids, you gotta watch the other kids. But if the adults aren't gonna be in the background to say, we're there for you to step in if we need you, the kids aren't gonna do it. Cause they're gonna end up being bullied or something else happening to them.
Absolutely. Marlene, how about your ideas on that three-part question or any of the discussion that followed?
Well, first of all, Derek is absolutely right with the perceived differences. We also see those children who are bullied by others as being kids who may have fewer friends or friends that are not strong enough to stand up to the peer group that is causing all of this distress with the child who is targeted. I think it's important for us to take a quick look at the bully or the child who is bullying other kids, and remind ourselves that this is not always the biggest kid or the meanest kid. Many times what we see in schools is that those who bully others can be very popular, can be involved as cheerleaders or the star of the football team, but they have an awful lot of social power, social capital over other kids. Mm-hmm. And they feel entitled to decide who's in and who's out and who they can disparage about their lineage or their clothing or their economic status, whatever. Mm-hmm. So we need to be careful not to call a child a victim or a bully and put them in that one category, because we see children changing positions. Child who is being bullied 1 year may gain support from friends and another year be the person who is terrorizing other kids. It changes. And bystanders have a huge role in helping their peers to calm down all of these kinds of things. We can talk about it later when we get back.
Okay, we'll be back after bullying, and we're going to really get into interventions at work. Be right back.
Your life, your health, your network. Voice America Health and Wellness.
How can we be powerful advocates for the children in our lives? How do we ensure that they're getting the best education possible? The Special Needs Advocacy Training Institute prepares parents and educators to be outstanding advocates for school success. The Training Institute is based on Rich Weinfeld and Michelle Davis's Special Needs Advocacy Resource Book. The book is comprehensive, practical, and easy to read. Visit specialneedsadvocacyinstitute.com to learn more about this dynamic training opportunity. Parents, are you concerned with your child's progress at school? Do you wish that you could do more for your class? Are you interested in pursuing a career in educational advocacy? At specialneedsadvocacyinstitute.com, you'll learn how to make a difference in the lives of children. You will also find information about Rich and Michelle's consulting and advocacy services. Our children need powerful advocates to ensure that they're getting an appropriate education. Visit specialneedsadvocacyinstitute.com to learn what you can do to more effectively advocate for the children in your life.
Chelsea School has served as a beacon of hope for students with language-based learning disabilities in the Washington, D.C. metro area for over 32 years. It is a college preparatory school serving students grades 5 through 12. Our program model emphasizes literacy remediation, math, science, and technology. For more information, visit our website at www.chelseaschool.edu or call 301-585-1430, extension 303.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Teach your children well.
You're listening to Teach Your Children Well, Hot Topics in Education with hosts Rich Weinfeld and Michelle Davis. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or tip regarding today's topic, give us a call toll-free at 866-472-5792. That number again is 866-472-5792. Now, back to the program.
Hi, this is Rich Weinfeld with my co-host Michelle Davis, and today we have our guests Marlene Snyder, Derek Randall, and Richard Paul talking about bullying. And while we were off air, I was making a little confession to Marlene and Michelle, which is that, you know, I certainly was bullied at times in my life, but I can also remember being the bully. And I wanted to ask Marlene, how typical is it that all of us are in both of those roles at some point in life, and how do you normalize that for kids yet work on preventing it?
Well, I think it's important to realize that bullying is all about power, the misuse of power. And we have all different kinds of power in our lives, but we do have the power to make other human beings miserable. And we learn how to do that from a very early age, whether it's calling someone a name or pushing the teasing way over the balance point where we're making the other person uncomfortable. So I think it's important for all of us, adults working in the schools, to realize that we all have it within us to abuse our sense of power, and that we are channeling our power to making every child in the school feel welcome, and that they do belong, and that we can move forward. I really love this story that
Richard?
We heard about the young man who changed totally from being a really bad kid to being one of the most appreciated children. The good news about bullying is that there are things that we can do to change this trajectory and to help schools educate all children without worried about bullying.
Derek, I'd love for you to comment on you know, how normal is it on the one hand, and then how do you deal with students to have them both understand that it may be normal, yet we want to prevent it.
Well, I agree with the part about, you know, the bully can also be the victim, because most bullies are victims at one time or another. And unfortunately, you know, this is a learned behavior, and many times it comes from home, whether it's a sibling or from a parent. So I think in the schools, everything that Marlene was saying was correct, where you want to make the kids feel wanted, successful, and safe. And that might mean maybe a little bit less of the math, English, and science, and maybe we should be teaching them more about character and citizenship, and empathy, and anger management, and how to be a better person, and take some of the stress off whether we're getting high enough test scores. You know, teachers have so many different roles now, and being a parent, it just happens to be one of them, because many kids are not getting it at home, and we have to teach them the please and the thank you and, you know, the manners.
Richard, what are some of the interventions that you have found to be particularly successful?
Well, I think it's one, you know, what we've been talking about with Marlene and Derek have been talking about is just basically bringing it out in the open. And I love what Marlene was talking about, is opening the arms for the kids and letting them know that they're there for them. And I had a principal at a school that I was at, and he was just the way he handled the kids. He handled them by example versus just teaching them. Because there's so many schools I've been through where the teachers bully the kids, or I've seen administrators bully the kids in the hallway. And with this gentleman, like if a child was
was not sitting up straight or whatever, he would not acknowledge that child. He would acknowledge the kid and say, oh, look at Jimmy, he's sitting up straight. Oh, my goodness, he's such a good kid. And he'd do that, and so the kid that wasn't sitting up straight would then sit up straight because he wanted to be recognized. So a lot of it is with these kids is ego, and they, you know, with, if they can get it to the negative, they do it to the negative through bullying, but if they can get it to the positive, then what a great thing we've done, because if we can teach our staff and our students to work at being more positive, like Derek said, to have better character, better, you know, please, thank yous, and being kind to one another. That's a start there, but it also with our teachers and our staff and hopefully our parents, just to try to get them to be the example of good people so the kids and then also can take that to school and take it into the community.
I think that's an excellent point because many teachers do bully the students, which gives other students permission to pick on that child also. And this is something, again, that's glossed over. You know, the administration doesn't really seem to handle it. There are teachers that, you know, kids are just scared to death of, and they shouldn't be. But kids learn best from modeling. We have to model the behavior we want them to have.
I totally agree with that. We have to be the example, not at school and at home and in the community. I mean, we have a situation in Detroit here that you know, with our own administration, mayor's administration, that I shake my head, what is this teaching our kids, you know? So we have to then, as adults, both whether we're in the limelight or whether it's just dad or mom at home, we have to be the role models to demonstrate right from wrong, because it's so true. A lot of the bullies learn, Derek, I totally agree, Marlena, I agree, they learn from home. I mean, when I was a kid, my older brothers, if they did something, I tried it, you know? I mean, my brother was out with jumping off a swing set with an umbrella trying to be Mary Poppins, and guess what I did? I did the same thing, you know? So it works the same way with this as well, monkey see, monkey do, basically.
And as every parent knows, their child sees everything. And I was teaching sixth grade when the Bill Clinton-Monica Lewinsky issue was going down. And what these kids were talking about, or how they dressed for Halloween, you know, if nobody thinks that had an effect on the youth, I think they're really mistaken.
I totally agree.
I'd like to ask the three of you about bullying, either prevention programs or intervention programs. What do we know that works? And then Rich and I would like to give all of you the opportunity to start giving the listeners, you know, some information and resources and websites and all of that. I mean, I'm really getting to why should we not be telling our kids to just ignore, walk away, if that's the case? And are there any formal programs that really have been working? And, you know, to what extent is this about, you know, really what we had started to talk about earlier, appreciating the differences between and among human beings? You know, what are the programs that have worked? Marlene, let's go ahead and start with you on this one.
Well, the OVAS program has a long and proud research position.
Marlene, can you spell that for us?
It's OVAS, OLWEUS.
Okay.
It's a program that was started by Dr. Dan OVAS from Bergen University in Norway. He has been researching since the early 1980s as a result of suicides of children who have committed, have brought about their own deaths because they felt so helpless and that there was no future for them because of the way they were treated by their peers. That is one of the things that we haven't even mentioned here is on this show is the number of children who have actually ended their own lives because of that. These are good kids coming from good families that have been not been protected as needing to have been protected from the victim point of view. But Dr. Olvea started this research in the 1980s, and basically the things that I heard from both Richard and from Derek are the things that he put in his program that need to be done. We have to recognize, first of all, that children cannot stop the bullying themselves. It's not enough to tell a child to just laugh it off, pretend it didn't happen, walk away, and they'll leave you alone. Usually the bullying ratchets up when you do those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. It takes a caring and concerned adult in the child who shows that child warmth and positive interest to help protect them. And we do know from our program that has school-wide components such as making policies and procedures and training every adult in that school system as to what bullying is, what it's not, what they are expected to do when they see it happening, how they are to report it, how they are to follow up with the child who is being bullied, the one who is doing the bullying. And yes, we have to involve parents at every step here. They need to be brought in if their child is being victimized by other kids. They need to be brought in if their child is tormenting other children. And there needs to be a working shoulder to shoulder with parents. We need each other to bring this to an end. We need to have conversations with children in their classroom, taking some time away, yes, from some of the studies, not long, usually 20 to 30 minutes once a week, to talk about what's going on in their personal relationships in their schools, what's working, what's not working, how can we work together so that we can all have fun here at school and move forward. Every adult needs to be given the skills to deal with these children on an individual basis. They need to know where to stand, who to look at, what message to give to the child who is bullying others when they hear it happening. They need to know how to protect a child on a long-term basis if they are being bullied. Because, frankly, what is driving the interest now in bullying prevention is that because it has become a risk management issue for schools.
Mm-hmm.
There are many, many more lawsuits that are being brought about, and our schools really financially cannot handle these multi-million-dollar lawsuits that are coming at them. Teachers need to feel supported by their administration that they can walk into their jobs holding their heads high and knowing that they're doing the very best they can for every child sitting in their classroom. And it can be done. We have hundreds, even thousands of schools throughout the country using very successful bullying prevention programming. And I just wish for everyone that they could be in some of those wonderful schools. You can feel the difference when you walk in the door.
Absolutely. Richard, would you like to go ahead and respond to we're talking about the prevention and or intervention programs that might be working?
Yes, everything that Marlene said I totally agree with, and you're right, I've read tons of Dan's books, and I bow to you people, because and I think it was, thank goodness that he had hindsight to do something about this, and it's just a shame that it took so long for it to come to the United States. I mean, if you really do, I mean, with Europe and in those areas that really started all this, and it finally came around the globe. The thing that I try to do when I'm brought into a school to talk to the kids, I try to teach them some simple techniques that they can use. But at the same time, I totally agree with Marlene, and there has to be adult intervention. I call it the backbone. They're the backbone of the prevention, and without them, it's just not going to work. My main thing is I teach the kids eye contact. I tell them, you know, if somebody is bullying you or doing something to you, you look them directly in the eyes. You keep your hands to yourself, look them directly in the eyes, and you tell them to knock it off or stop it. But with that said, they still have to have that adult behind them that's going to, you know, be there if they don't knock it off, you know. So there's so many techniques, and I do have quite a few at my website, but I'm sure they have them on theirs as well. Marlene and Derek had tons of information, and I know they do. But just different techniques that kids can use and parents can use and schools can use to help the victim, but also it hopefully help the bully as well, to put an end to them thinking that, wow, I'm getting something out of this. We have to take away that feeling of power.
We're going to take our last quick break and continue with interventions that work when we come back.
Helping you make informed decisions for your life. This is Voice America Health and Wellness.
How can we be powerful advocates for the children in our lives? How do we ensure that they're getting the best education possible? The Special Needs Advocacy Training Institute prepares parents and educators to be outstanding advocates for school success. The Training Institute is based on Rich Weinfeld and Michelle Davis's Special Needs Advocacy Resource Book. The book is comprehensive, practical, and easy to read. Visit SpecialNeedsAdvocacyInstitute.com to learn more about this dynamic training opportunity. Parents, are you concerned with your child's progress at school? Educators, do you wish that you could do more for your class? Are you interested in pursuing a career in educational advocacy? At SpecialNeedsAdvocacyInstitute.com, you'll learn how to make a difference in the lives of children. You will also find information about Rich and Michelle's consulting and advocacy services. Our children need powerful advocates to ensure that they're getting an appropriate education. Visit SpecialNeedsAdvocacyInstitute.com to learn what you can do to more effectively advocate for the children in your life.
Chelsea School has served as a beacon of hope for students with language-based learning disabilities in the Washington, D.C. metro area for over 32 years. It is a college preparatory school serving students grades 5 through 12. Our program model emphasizes literacy remediation, math, science, and technology. For more information, visit our website at www.chelseaschool.edu or call 301-585-1430, extension 303.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Teach your children well.
You're listening to Teach Your Children Well, Hot Topics in Education with hosts Rich Weinfeld and Michelle Davis. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or tip regarding today's topic, give us a call toll-free at 866-472-5792. That number again is 866-472-5792. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Teach Your Children Well, Hot Topics in Education. I'm Michelle Davis, and I'm here with my co-host, Rich Weinfeld, and our three distinguished guests talking about bullying and school violence today. I believe that one of our guests, Richard Paul, has a little bit of a time limit here to work with. So, Richard, I'm going to go right to you and then give Marlene and Derek a chance to finish up. We were talking a little bit about bullying programs, either prevention programs or intervention programs, and then I'd like to give you an opportunity to tell the listeners about any resources you believe might be helpful for parents, educators, or kids themselves.
And please include, you know, your website and, you know, any contact information you'd like to give.
Okay. The best source would be, just to for the interest of time, would be to go to my website. I have two websites. I have www.nobullyclub.com, and also I have my website, www.richardpaul.com. And I have articles, I have also my blog. It's my newest thing I'm really excited about because we're starting to get some parents and teachers involved in it, and that's www.richardpaul.com/blog. And we have discussions and information there that I put up and other people have put up. And then also I have free articles, I have links to other sites, and I constantly, every day, we're adding more and more stuff. If you're interested in bringing me into school or a conference or something, you can also get all the information at the site as well, and we can share additional information on that as well. But we have to stop it, and I'm so glad we have a distinguished team here, and there's even more people out there doing what we do. We have to put a stop to it. We have to let them know, the kids, that it's safe to go to school, and you don't have to worry about the kid next to you. Instead, just worry about learning, and that's what we need to do and get this moving forward. And I applaud my two fellow colleagues in this and all the other colleagues out there that couldn't be on the show, or maybe even folks that are listening, that we have to continue this and keep this going.
Richard, thanks so much for being with us, and we really appreciate your time and your efforts in this area.
Thank you so much, Richard. Have a great weekend.
Thank you so much. Have a good one, everyone.
Thank you. So Derek and Marlene are still with us.
Yes.
And I don't think Derek has really had a chance to address interventions at work, and also, Derek, if you want to go ahead and give us your contact information at the same time, that would be great.
Yeah. I just wanted to comment on Marlene's comments before.
Mm-hmm. It definitely takes the community, the parents, the administration, the students, the staff, working together. And until that happens, you know, no one's going to be able to handle this by themselves. And when I talk to parents, it's very important, I keep pushing it, that when you come into the school, you want to say, we have a problem, how can we work together? You do not want to come into the school and start attacking the staff and expect, you know, to get the results that you want. She had mentioned the lawsuits. There's so many crazy lawsuits going on out there. It's not the answer. You know, working together is the answer. But as far as another intervention program, there's a really good one by a company called Anonymous Communication. Their program is called Let's Talk About It. And it's a way for the bystanders to, you know, let staff know about what's going on, and they can do it anonymously. And that's what's really important about getting bystander involvement. They're worried about being retaliated against and being humiliated. So if they can come forward and not worry, you know, about someone's going to find out it's them, the program has done wonders. And I thought, oh, this is really great for bullying. But kids have written in about being suicidal. They've written in about problems at home. It's addressed so many other issues. So I think that's a really good program also.
What about the anti-bullying legislation? Isn't there, and both you and Marlene can talk about that, and then unfortunately our time is going to be up in just a minute, but what about some anti-bullying legislation? How far has that gone?
I think it's gone a long way, but I don't like politicians getting involved in this. I still think it comes down to the schools, the parents, and the community. When politicians get involved, I'm not sure how much better things are going to be.
Derek, before we switch to Marlene, do you have a website or any contact information you want to give us?
Yeah, my website is stoppingschoolviolence.com. And on there it gives, like Richard said, a whole bunch of information about my talks and my books. My latest thing is teachers who are being bullied by the students and parents. I just came out with a book called Attacking Our Educators that gives over 80 solutions for the schools to look at, because besides the students not feeling safe, teachers don't feel safe. So that needs to be addressed. So stoppingschoolviolence.com and all the contact information is, you know, on the website.
I'd like to encourage listeners to go there. You've got a lot of articles there for in the home, what signs to look for, why your child is a victim in the community and in the school, how to approach the school, and the things that you've touched on here, I think, are in your articles on your site. It's a really nice site.
Thank Derek, thanks so much for being with us and all your efforts in this regard, and we'll give Marlene the last words.
It's always nice to have the last word. I guess there are a couple things. First of all, I hope that all the folks who are listening realize that any anti-bullying program or work that you do has to be ongoing. It cannot be looked at as a one-year project or something that, oh, let's write a grant for this and we'll do it for the 3 years of the grant, and when the money runs out, then we'll just drop it. We can actually make the school environment more dangerous for children if we start bullying prevention programming and then give the children that kind of support and then drop it within a year. So I'd really caution them to think about doing bullying prevention for from now until forever. When you stop with the efforts, the bullying comes back. It's something you have to keep after, year after year after year. The second comment would be on the state laws. I think that Pennsylvania and Florida are the two latest states to have added legislation, just following Utah and Nebraska this summer, bringing our total up to 38 different states. Each one of them has different policies and procedures that are required of school districts in those laws. Every state law is different. Some just require schools to pay attention to it and write policies that indicate they're going to protect children. They don't require training. Some do. So there are some state laws that are better than others.
Marlene, I don't want the time to get away from us without people hearing all of your contact information. So if you
our contact information, if you Google OLWEUS, O-L-W-E-U-S, you'll find us. We are at www.clemson.com. clemson.edu/OLWEUS for the official website. Our distributor is Hazelden Publishing. You can see all of the program materials at www.hazelden.org/OVAIS. And then I'd also like to make listeners well aware that we do have a national anti-bullying campaign that has wonderful free resources for parents. You can go there to www.stopbullyingnow.hrsa, and that stands for Health Resources Services Administration, HRSA.gov. And if you go to the adult section, the website is built for 9 to 13-year-old kids. There's lots of fun stuff there. There's webisodes, there are games, there's information for children who feel that they are being victimized or they are concerned about bullying in their own schools.
Marlene, we're going to have to wrap up, but we really applaud all of your efforts and the work you're doing. And I know our listeners will want to be in touch to find out more. We want to ask listeners to visit our website, Michelle and my website, specialneedsadvocacyinstitute.com, to learn more about our training institute for advocates. And we hope to be speaking with all of you in the future.
Thanks so much for listening to this week's edition of Teach Your Children Well, Hot Topics in Education. Join your hosts Rich Weinfeld and Michelle Davis again next Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Teach your children well. Their father's health did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams.